This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, BFM Media 9.9, 7:45 in the morning. I'm Kuz Drong with Joyce Goh and Melissa Idris. In about 20 minutes, Melissa Idris, you're going to be talking to the MP for Rumbau, YB Kari Jamaluddin. What are you going to be talking to him about?
Loads of things, but I love it when you call me by my full name, Melissa Idris. Right? What are you going to be talking about, Melissa Idris? So lots of things. Look, the latest thing is that yesterday, the Barisan Nasional announced their shadow cabinet, and Kari Jamaluddin was given the Ministry of Finance portfolio for this. His top priority will be to come up with an alternative budget for 2019. A budget's in about five weeks from now.
That's going to be
the top priority. I'm going to find out a little bit more about what we can expect coming off that. But also, the UMNO General Assembly is this weekend. So, you know, Kari lost his bid for presidency of the party. He was formerly the UMNO youth chief. I'd like to get his thoughts into, you know, where the party is heading to, what's in it for an UMNO revival, and also the cooperation between other parties. Is that something in the works? So much to talk about.
Lots to discuss.
And so many people have already sent in their comments and questions. Thank you, everyone. I will try to get to them if I have time. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio. I'll try and get to them. But by and large, I think your questions are very much in line with mine. We all have the same questions about where is UMNO going? What is his role in a revival? I'm not even if he wants a role in a revival. These are all the part of the conversation that we're going to have.
So many issues, so little time. Mm-hmm. Not as much time as MACC had with Rosmah Mansour.
This is not going to be a 13-hour grill. Let's just put it out there.
Okay, so let's move on to the business news headlines. And yesterday, the Bank Negara held an analyst briefing with analysts, and they talked about the financial stability review. And in that review, they highlighted there's some concern that the number of unsold homes continue to grow. Now, this is not commercial homes. This is residential homes. Mm. And the unsold stock continues to rise, and is a concern for them because obviously not only is it a potential property bubble, but it's also a potential systemic risk to the financial system.
Yeah, the number of unsold housing units that increased to over 146,000 units at the end of this year's first quarter. This is compared to the 129,000 units at the end of September last year. And over 80% of the unsold units are priced above the affordable range ceiling of 250,000 ringgit.
Okay, so it's not good news all around, right? Because we've got 80% unsold units of residential homes. This is above, as you mentioned, Joyce, above a quarter of a million. Then we also have excess supply in the office and shopping complexes sector of the property industry, right? So that is also, there's extra supply there. Mm. And then this is all, of course, in midst of the deteriorating rental rates when it comes to vacancy rates when it comes to the first quarter of the year. So all in all, if we were to zoom out, guys, and we looked at the property sector, it looks like there's a whole lot more supply than there is demand. People are just not buying. What does that mean?
Well, it means, from Bank Negara's perspective, that there's a systemic, there's a risk of a potential systemic risk of the financial system, right? By some estimates, the whole mortgage loan sector to the bank loan book in Malaysia is somewhere around about 20-25%, which is a huge whack. Now, it's not just the residential side, but it's also the commercial side, as this financial stability review mentions, right? Now, if both individual borrowers and corporate borrowers, because developers need to take on some leverage to build houses in advance of people buying them, if they can't afford to pay down their debt and to service their loans, then what happens?
Yeah, but also I think it also means that houses are just not affordable. This is the whole conversation that we've been having for so long. People just cannot afford to buy homes, and they cannot afford to buy the property. And coming back to this talking about financing and all that, banks are cautious on two segments, okay? They're cautious on lending to the office space and shopping complex segments as well. If you look at data, they're saying that loan approval rates for office and shopping complex developments were lower compared to this is lower at 63.5% and 69.5%. This is during a January-June period compared to mid-70% last year. So you can see that they are also the loan approvals have come down as well.
Well, these were property cooling measures implemented by Bank Negara to stop the property bubble from getting bigger, right? So it's trying to get to grips with the situation. They know, Bank Negara knows that this is a potential disaster.
Wait a minute.
So you used the making.
You use the term property bubble. Is that a term you're comfortable using? Because I'm not pointing it out, but ideas, the think tank ideas, they said that we should be ready, or Malaysia should be ready for a property bubble to burst. And they're worried that this could lead to an economic crisis.
Absolutely. And a whole bunch of other analysts, including CBRE and other big analysts and forecasters, have said that the Klang Valley commercial property segment is building too fast for demand to take up. We've got TRX, we've got Wawasan, we've got...
How did we get to this point? 80% unsold residential homes. That's not a small figure, guys. And it's not a figure that happened overnight.
And I think the residential side is a bit more concerning than the corporate. The corporate side...
I think the sites are quite tough. It's both, right? Big concern, yeah.
But the companies, the developers that have got unsold inventory in their books, they can take on more debt. They've got other revenue streams to kind of like cover the monthly interest payments. People can't. And we know that household debt situation in Malaysia remains elevated at about 86, 87% of GDP. We know that, right? If you can't afford to pay down your installments, you can't take on more debt because the bank just says no. Mm. No more debt for you. No more personal loans. No more credit card. You can't. And if your property is below, in terms of equity, you can't take on more refinance
right, yeah.
as well.
Well, Ideas is now saying that, it's not just looking at the supply and demand, but also the involvement of government agencies. There's so many government agencies within the affordable housing market, within the property sector, and that's crowding out private initiative. So perhaps there's a need for the government to downplay its role, right? And not get too involved. Because once the government gets involved, what's the initiative for the private sector to be within that affordable housing space? As you mentioned, Joyce, most houses are unaffordable.
Yeah, people can't afford them. I think Ideas also said that, government must enhance Malaysian financial literacy, with an emphasis on savings as well as the possibilities of offering, the rental market. Again, there's the whole renting versus owning a property.
But that's a long-term solution, though.
I absolutely spot on with Ideas because the government has to stop selling the idea that home ownership is the holy grail. It is not if you can't afford it. It becomes the holy nightmare if you can't afford to pay your loan and you get put into bankruptcy. It can very quickly turn into a disaster.
Yeah, but it's just not properties. If you look at incoming office supply, guys, I think that remains sizable and nearly 38 million square feet as of June. That's the incoming office supply.
That's the office, right? What about malls?
And also shopping malls. Yeah. I think we're expected 11 malls expected to join the Klang Valley retail market in the second half of this year. And, a shopping complex segment, I think some developers, they have to either downsize or defer their projects because the demand for vacancy as well, you can walk at a number of shopping complexes out there. Some of the shops, they've closed down. I mean, a lot of shops have closed. They're saying, new retail mall, new retail concept coming to you. But that shop remains closed for many months. You don't know whether there's actually a new brand or a new retail guy coming into that spot.
Exactly. Anecdotally, we know the malls. We can walk through malls and see the number of people going to them and empty shops. But what is not anecdotal is the fact that Astro, the pay TV operator, has announced second quarter profits or second quarter earnings, saying that second quarter earnings have plunged by 93%. 93% to about 16 million ringgit.
Okay, they're saying
higher content costs.
Content costs. It was FIFA World Cup, wasn't it? That was the reason for that high content cost. Higher costs of merchandise sales and net finance costs, all in all. But are they saying that this had been budgeted for? So they knew what they were paying and they knew that this was going to be the repercussions of it?
Yeah, Henry Tan, the CEO designate of Astro, said that they knew this content cost was going to increase. And also, I think they've also been hit by the depreciation ringgit as well. So I think what he's saying is that Astro continues to have a stable revenue across TV and radio, as well as because of their diversification that they did. Remember, they went into retail, home shopping and all that. That seemed to have helped some bit, but still, 93% drop is a big drop.
Yeah, you mentioned that there's stable revenue across TV and radio, Joyce, but I think it's worth noting that both TV and radio segments have seen a decline in EBITDA.
EBITDA. Earnings before interest tax depreciation. And yeah, if you look at home shopping, I think that segment saw an increase of 23 million ringgit in revenue. So I guess that has helped them somewhat.
I think to get to the number of it all, right, Astro has announced that they won a further 3 years rights to show the Premiership football.
The EPL.
The EPL, right? which is also not coincidentally, when you look at the global cost of the rights. Now, the Sky and BT Sport have paid a record 5.2 billion ringgit to show live Premiership football between now and 2019. That's 71% above the current deal. It just goes to show.
70% above the current deal.
71% above the current deal. Do you know that?
Why football so expensive, Juan?
Well, exactly.
I don't understand.
Exactly. It's just, 22 men running around in shorts kicking a football, right? I mean, what's there beyond it? But, I mean, look.
Are you paying to watch these guys because they're
I think that's in pounds, I think. But it's really expensive.
Yes, I don't get it, though.
Yeah. I mean, Alexis Sanchez, which is a forward for Manchester United, you know how much he gets paid a month? £2 million. £500,000 a week.
Shall we just blame the football players for this?
Partly. But it's also the popularity of the platform. Right. Which is why Astro have to pay...
Supply and demand. Right?
Supply and demand.
Well, I think the sports writer Bob Holmes, he said that EPL has been the backbone of sports coverage in Malaysia for around 20 years, but it might become unsustainable. I mean, there's a point, right? If it continues going up, the cost of that, how are you going to sustain that? And then you have, I guess, piracy is a big headache. When it comes to this.
Sorry, let me just correct myself. I said 5.14 billion pounds, not ringgit. 5.1 billion pounds.
Pounds.
Right? But it's a catch-22 situation. I know it's times 5.5, okay? It's not cheap.
Okay.
Without Premiership football, right, Astro is kind of like nowhere. Do you know what I mean? Because HBO and all that, you can... I mean, movies are commoditized now, right? What else have we got? Bloomberg News, Sky News, whatever, right? Mm. You can watch chefs... You've got celebrity chefs coming out of it. It's sports, not just football.
It's the lifeblood of cable TV, satellite TV, right?
It is. I mean, they're even giving away the PGA Tour golf now, which they never used to. Mm. And nobody's signing up to watch a cricket on one day test, right? It is the Premiership football.
But tennis, I think tennis is big as well, no?
Yeah, kind of. But it doesn't reach every household like football does.
Well, definitely, I think changing viewing habits is something that Astro needs to deal with and address.
Tis indeed. Okay, it's now 7:57 in the morning. We're going to be coming back with 8 o'clock news. And beyond that, Melissa Idris talks to YB Khairi Jamaluddin. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.